Music and Conversations is brought to you by Tompkins Marketing, world-class radio promotions, marketing, and distribution.
That was a new sound for me. Walls is his name. Wally's. Yeah, he's great. I like that kid's sound. Yeah, that's a great track. Okay, we're always trying to feature new music here, discover new sounds. So if you have new music, all you need to do is submit it to Music and Conversations on Amazing 102.5. We play indie, major, doesn't matter. All it has to do is be good. And I wanted to wish one of the heifers, Heifer 1 and Heifer 2, I want to wish Heifer 1 a happy birthday. She has a birthday coming up on this Monday. She's a Libra. Matter of fact, my engineer was just telling me that she was too. So my whole house of my daughters are Libras, one on the 3rd, one on the 15th. So happy birthday, Michelle. I also wanted to give out a tidbit. We're going to be giving out little information tidbits that we, for music people, the things I feel like anybody in the industry needs to know. There's a thing called the USISRC code. Okay, that is a code that is used to identify music labels and protect independent artists, of all artists, matter of fact, from bootleg, okay, and things of that nature. You go to the IRAA site, which is the Recording Industry of America, the International Recording Industry of America, the IRAA site, and they will tell you how to go get your own code for your own label. It is called the USISRC code, the International Standard Code. It is available free of charge for any release on any music that you're going to be putting out. Okay, and it's absolutely positively necessary these days, since there's so much thievery going on in the industry, and that the internet has opened up the wild, wild west on protecting your copyrights and your royalties and things of that nature. Also, another tidbit, this day in black music history. This is another thing I've added to the show. Today in black music history, in 1981, Rick James had his first number one record, which was Give It To Me Baby. That's in 1981. This was Rick James' first number one record. And also in 1970, on this date, the Jackson 5 had their first number one record. Okay. Matter of fact, when I was talking about having Sarah on today, I think Sarah got a little confused when we were having our interview, that she thought that I worked on LaBelle and worked on Lady Marmalade. I wish I could tell that lie and say that I was a part of that record, but I wasn't a part of that. I met Sarah first, and I have to apologize for it. This happened 30 years ago. I was telling my wife about it. I was such an a-hole. I guess, you know, I was young and arrogant, you know, and which I'm sure Emilian will witness to if he was here, that I was arrogant. A person that I met Sarah for the first time. She came into Chicago. I was the regional in Chicago back then. And Sarah had a record that was real big at the dance clubs. And you would be amazed at how many gay dance clubs there were in Chicago at that point. That's back in the late 70s, early 80s. So Sarah had flown in, and we went out on a tour, and she was trying to advise me on some things I was doing, and I was just telling her, what you trying for that sound? Yeah, I hear something. So that she was trying to advise me that something shouldn't be done, but I did not listen to her, and I'm apologizing 30 years later, you know, but everything worked out fine, okay? But it was another thing where it was a learning process. Okay, my God. Okay, also today in music history was the Grateful Dead got arrested in San Francisco for smoking marijuana. This happened today in 1967 in San Francisco. The Grateful Dead was arrested for marijuana smoking. Okay. And our artist Sting was born today. This is his birthday. He was born in 1951. And this was the first showing of Soul Train. Soul Train debuted in 1971 on this date. Their first guest was Gladys Knight and the Pips. Okay, let's hit some new music. We've got another brand new track we want to hit you with. What is that, Boogie? Okay. We're going to hit it. Hit it.
In my bag now, in my bag now. I brought them back out and they sat down. I got things I never had now. I can brag now. Got my girl a Louis bag now. She can brag now. Got my girl a Birkin bag now. She a brat now. Now I'm sitting in the club in a different bag now. Baby, when I pick it up, you gon' put it back down. Tell them you don't give a wall, baby, spin that background. Tell a DJ turn it up, like, what is that sound? Baby, Boogie with the hoodie in it, so he's foreign. Yeah, I know she like my style, cause I was never boring. When I pull up, they go skirt, skirt, that's a foreign. When I pull up on a red light, they don't want it. Yeah, I came up from the mud and my baby know that. Introduced her to my plug, now she thinks she all that. When I first hit her up, no, she never rolled back. Then I saw her at the club, so I got up on that. Now every time they play this song, she say this is my hit. See the flick on my wrist, and I know she know it's all, baby, this is my hit. See the flick on my wrist, they know that's my chick, that's a fact. And she stalk with me when you in my section. Fill it up with my car empty, I can't mess with racks, that's a fact, that's a dog, yeah. All about my F, can't put water over blood, yeah. Trust me, it get ugly. If I wasn't getting money, would you still want me? If I told you I was broke, would you start acting funny? This is all I ever wanted, you can't take it from me. Now every time they play this song, she say this is my hit. See the flick on my wrist, and I know she know it's all, baby, this is my hit. See the flick on my wrist.
This is T.C. Tompkins with Music and Conversations, and we're so happy that you're listening to us again this weekend. My co-host just showed up. You know, he hates for me to call him that. This is my co-host, because I make him get on the air every time he's in the studio, you know.
Lord.
How you doing, Mr. White?
I'm doing simply marvelous, Mr. Tompkins.
You've had quite an active week, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Man, I've been hearing about you all over, seeing your name, and whoa. Okay, that's my mic. That's my mic.
Okay, I'm here. Okay.
Okay, to bring me back up. Okay. There we go.
Our chief engineer over there.
That's okay. I love it.
Oh, is that look.
Ooh, right,
she burned through my glasses. Lord.
You with me. Okay. No, but I was just talking about, hey, man, I wanted to say publicly, you know, I'd already called you and text you and all that, but congratulations on procuring Yolanda Adams. You know what I think of her as an artist and as a preacher, man.
Oh, she can go.
Woo!
Oh, she is strong.
I've seen her preach. Okay.
She is truly amazing.
Yeah. And she's on Amazing 102. Matter of fact, yeah, her people were in here right before we went on the air today working on getting everything set up for her debut on the 3rd. So
tomorrow morning.
Oh man,
bright and early, right, 5 right. a.m.
You know, that's Michelle's birthday too.
Oh, happy birthday, Michelle!
That's right. That's one of the heifers. Yeah,
H1.
H1. That's what I tell you. The nicknames you don't gave H1 and H2.
H1 H2.
You know.
No, but you know. People got to understand, you know, Yolanda. I tell people all the time that Yolanda had the opportunity to go any place
she wanted. Absolutely.
She wanted, mm-hmm. but she chose to come to Amazing 102.5, which is a total, total blessing. And it was something that, you know.
Hey, man, God got a plan.
God,
I mean, you know,
plan.
I'm telling you, I believe this. You know what? I was thinking about something on the way in here driving.
Right.
This is a true story. I was thinking about something on the way when I was driving in here that you cannot say. I've had so much stuff happen to me in my life. That was
people got to recognize.
Yeah, that was recognized. You had that. I remember one time. I was just thinking about this. I'm racing down Sunset Boulevard.
Okay. Right.
In one of my rental cars.
Right.
When I was working vice president of Epic Records.
Right.
You know, went into a tailspin.
Right.
Okay. And then didn't have a scratch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, matter of fact, when I was a kid, when I was about 17 years old, I'm racing down 59 in East Texas, turned my aunt's, I think it was a 50-something Ford, went off a cliff and turned the car over 3 times.
But you know what?
And didn't have a scratch.
Right, but you got to understand, we've always said in the record and understanding, God takes care of babies and pools.
Yeah, and I was definitely a fool.
And during our life in the record industry, got so many stories to tell. We were guys, babies, and poos.
Oh yeah, no question.
So,
question.
But you know, this is the birth. You know, we birthed Amazing 102.5, and God has been raising this baby incredibly to this point.
Well,
more to come.
I've been with you from the time you was trying to put equipment together, and then baby, it's been leaps and bounds.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It felt like you were crawling because it ain't never fast enough. I know how that is. You know.
My mind works a little different.
My mind works a little different.
You know? So, you know, I always think about big things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is one of God's big things. Yolanda Adams coming to this radio station.
Man.
You know, that's, you know, people don't understand how incredible that
is. First of all, you got me.
Okay. Hey, right. I got you to help us.
Right. No, I can say the helpers were a blessing, right. But not me. But right. I mean, Yolanda.
But it's going to be incredible. You know, just tune in, you know, download the app.
Absolutely.
Amazing 102.5 FM, or if you got, you know, Google Play or iTunes or whatever.
I was just telling my audience that my program is available on iTunes every week. Music and Conversations in the business section of talk shows is on iTunes every week, so you can get it.
But the key is, you know, I'm glad you're here because of the fact that, you know, I want you to educate people in the marketplace about the music industry. Like I got educated from you. I've learned a lot. I'll tell you this a lot, but you know, I always preach your accolades a lot of the time. I know.
Well, right, you, right. We, no, but I have to look. Yeah. I don't want to go in here and go to this whole buddy thing. But
we go way back.
We both have been through a lot of struggles. Okay,
since
in our life.
78, since 1980.
Yeah, and we've been there for each other every time.
That's 37 years.
Yeah.
So.
You get a hiccup, I'm there, and I get a hiccup, you there. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, that's the way that's been.
But you know, all in all, you know, the artists that have come and gone that we have had a lot to do with
have touched our lives,
we touched their lives. Uh-huh. It's a phenomenal list.
Yeah,
you know, people who were, you know, at ground zero, just like this little radio station,
mm-hmm.
and they become, you know, super success. Like, and I'll never forget Puerto Rico, Luther Vandross.
Oh yeah,
when you introduce Luther Vandross to the marketplace. Uh-huh. It's like, never too much. He's a little nappy head dude.
Yeah. Unkempt,
unkempt.
Yeah.
You know, and there he was,
Luther,
you know.
Great guy. That's
right.
True.
You know, it's quiet, you know, and then he coming out with Never Too Much. He said, okay, this is a different kind of record for the R&B marketplace, but we made it work.
Made it work.
And this was down in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
He stepped from behind the curtain. This is Luther Vandross. I said, Luther who?
Yeah.
You know, at Vandross.
Believed
you know,
in
right,
that. Believed
right.
in that degree to
right.
man. Believed
right.
in it, baby.
And so it worked, you know, just like, you know, other artists. Like, you know, you had the Teddies,
uh-huh.
you know, the Sade,
well,
you know.
Well, you know what? This is a perfect example. I'm not going to mention no names because somebody here in the city had committed to do the show. Okay.
Right.
That had committed to do the show. Right. So I felt like we had been talking about it for 2 or 3 weeks. I felt like the artist was confirmed. I told him Million. He said, who you got this week? I said, oh, don't worry about it. I got so-and-so. We're going to have an in-house studio. So it always works better when you have someone right. in studio.
Right.
So, but man, I'm just so blessed and so fortunate enough that last minute, I said, you know, I got to call somebody. I got to get somebody for my show this Sunday. Hey, man, Sarah Dash, which ain't no
slouch,
fly-by-night artist. Somebody has have a standing in the industry. Oh, T, call me anytime, blah, blah. Not only her, our next week guest is Bobby Humphrey. Matter of fact, Bobby had just gotten back from Japan. I called her. Now, for you people who don't know musical history, you need to look up Bobby Humphrey.
Right.
Bobby Humphrey was big back in
one of the most talented flute players in the female flute players
in the business.
In the business, yeah. You know, jazz flutist.
Played with everybody.
Right.
Played with everybody. Matter of fact, I have been trying to reach her because, as usual, Europe and Asia always appreciate something that comes from us more than we do.
Right.
She's been in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. She just got back from Japan. I talked to her
after all these, and she hasn't had a hit record
since the late '70s, eighties,
since
the eighties,
and she's still, you know, she's still touring over there because they remember and they appreciate her music. Just like we said, Archie Bell last week, and always. What we say is, only takes one
hit record.
One
baby.
Hit record.
Yeah, Lynn. We've talked. Matter of fact, in the interview that's coming up later on with Sarah, she's doing TV right now off of LaBelle, off of Lady Marmalade.
Creole Lady Marmalade.
Yeah.
She had to be almost 70 years old.
Yeah, Sarah still looks great. She was on TV in New Jersey somewhere because I saw it on Facebook. She's singing. And matter of fact, she was saying that anybody, either one of them, and I appreciate Sarah saying it, but you can't really say that, you know, nobody can sing that lead that song like Patty.
Right.
But that group was made up of icons. You know, Nona Hendrix was a great songwriter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Nona Hendrix.
Yeah. She was more known. As a matter of fact, what we discussed discussed in the interview was that they were working and much more well-known in the northeastern section of the country well before Lady Marmalade and all of that. You know, Patty and Patty LaBelle and the Bluebells.
Right.
Patty and the Bluebells. Yeah. That's what they were known as.
So how did Patty jump us or stand up in the crowd versus Nona Hendrix or Sarah Dash?
Because she's
the leader of the group.
Patty has just got that Patty LaBelle sound, and she's got a uniqueness about her voice
that I think all of them can sing.
All of them great singers, but I just think Patty has that signature sound.
Right.
You know, now you wouldn't say Sade is a great vocalist. But she got a signature sound.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And if you know, you can recognize her vocals. Matter of fact, I was reading something on Facebook today that made me laugh. Is they were saying something, the voice of a goddess. They're talking about Sade. Now, I remember how they dogged her at her vocals when she first came out. Man, all about it, people said she couldn't sing. Yak.
Right.
It's how opinions change.
But now, you know, they can't wait for her to bring out a new album after a 10-year rest period.
No. They be waiting on her, man.
Sade got a new album.
Yeah, it's dope.
Right. So, but, you know, Sarah Dash and Nona, I mean, those are great voices to appreciate. And the people, you know, they never got their just due like Patty did.
No. Patty went on, and now Nona had a solo career, and also to Sarah. Sarah had a couple of records. She was on Kirshner Records, when she did those dance records, and Patty was on all of them were on Columbia at that point. I don't know how Patty got off of Columbia and ended up on Philly International, but I'm glad that she did. And that it all worked out.
Oh, Patty should be here every other week.
Oh yeah, and appearing in Houston.
Yeah, she said, "I thought she had a condo here." Yeah. Or something. She was here all the time.
Hey man, look, since we were having our political moment, and this is something I want to ask you. Okay, this is something I wrote this down because I wanted to ask you. Now, you know, they were talking about, I was saying that they need to raise the qualifications for running for president. You know, only run for president, all you have to be is a certain age and be born in this country.
Right.
Don't you think, I mean, you can't get a job washing dishes with that, with those two qualifications, being a citizen.
This is my personal opinion. I think they need to change the law, the Bill of Rights, you know, and a whole lot of things that are in our Constitution, because, you know, they are over, you know, 1776. And
the times have changed.
Times have changed. You know, we 300
laws are out of date.
Right.
Yeah.
We've progressed over 300 years, but we're still, you know, utilizing the same rules and laws or regulations that, based upon George Washington riding horses, you know, and fighting with swords and single barrel guns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, they didn't have, they only had six shoot. They didn't have, they had the, you had to reload the rifles. Now, they didn't have automatic weapons.
Everybody don't need no gun.
Gatling gun didn't even come out to the 1800s.
Yeah,
you know, in the 1700s, you know, they didn't have that. They might have thought differently if they had a Gatling gun, a machine gun, or an AK-47, because, you know, those things are...
I know, with the gun laws.
The gun laws and everything. So, you know, I think that, you know the Congress, Supreme Court, or Senate or whoever, they need to take another look at, okay, some things need to change because we've grown.
Yeah. Well, they need to update a whole bunch of stuff. They definitely need to update the qualifications. You just can't be just a citizen and run for president. I understand it's your right, but I think you need to be educated for that position.
Just like, you know, the Electoral College, you know, versus the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know,
the Electoral College was really set up to keep the popular people from putting a fool in office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that was their protection. We may have to bring it out this year. Okay. I mean, I didn't realize, because I was talking, they were talking, discussing this, because, you know, I'm a political junkie. They were discussing this on a show, and they said there's never been a time, I think maybe one time in history, where the Electoral College disagreed with the
popular
vote. Right. And they can, there's no law keeping them from voting against whatever the people voted. There's no laws to stop them from agreeing with the popular vote.
But didn't George Bush Jr.
He won the electoral, but he lost the popular.
Right, and so he made his president. Yeah, and they're scratching their head.
Yeah,
it's like
Gore. That was the first time I'd ever seen that happen. But that's what, you know. But I mean, between me and you and the gay post, I think they just
telling everybody now.
Yeah, they just
they just
took that presidency.
All right, but anyway,
okay. But hey, look, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with some new music. Yeah, let's play Kevin. I like that track. We're going to hit Kevin Ross's new track. Okay.
You always got somewhere to go. Your life is filled with revolving doors. It's not a race when it comes to love. Unless it's me that you're running from. I know we live in the now, but we can set our own pace. Take my hand, and we can slow dance to the radio. Cause forever's alone. Let the record play.
slow dance to the radio. Cause forever's a long, it's a long song away.
It's a long song away.
Forever's a long, it's a long song away. So won't you please, please let the record play. Just let the record play.
To test my limits, cause it's my business. God is my witness. Stop what I finished. Don't need no holder. Taking control of this kind of moment. I'm locked and loaded. Completely focused. My mind is open. All that you got's gonna skin. Oh my God, don't you stop, boy. Something about like introducing us to a new thing. I wanna save it for later. The taste of flavor, cause I'm a taker, cause I'm a giver. It's only nature, I live for danger. All that you got, skin to skin. Oh my God, don't you stop, oh. Something about
music and conversation. Hello?
Sarah? Mm-hmm. Sarah?
What happened?
I messed around and hit a button.
Not knowing
my own technology, you know.
Oh, well, you're supposed to be on top of everything. That's no joke.
Yeah, well, I'm trying my best to be as technology as aware as I possibly can. But
you know, they change it every day.
Yeah, they change it every day on me, and I really utilize my daughters to kind of keep me abreast of what's going on. So, you know,
you rely on the young ones. Oh, too,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, I have to. Well, look, for those people who don't know, I'm on the phone with world-renowned, world-famous Sarah Dash, one of the original members of LaBelle, which is a masterful group. Look, Sarah, when did you guys record that Lady Marmalade?
That was back in 74.
74?
Yeah, you are the promotion man. How come you don't remember?
Yeah, I couldn't. Well, you know, I didn't remember the year. You know, I could.
I think it was 74.
Yeah, it was. It was around 74. Okay, 74.
Because we played when we played the Metropolitan. What year? It came out right after we played the Met.
Well, you know,
remember
what?
Remember that?
I remember. But you know what? I had Ken Reynolds on. A few weeks ago, and he was your PR person, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Ken actually was our road manager.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he got into PR after working with us as a road manager.
Well, you know, he was telling me that you guys had built you somewhat of a demographics and stuff over in that Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., New York area before Lady Marmalade was a big hit. This was where you were really concentrating most of your energy, and you were known, you were well known in that area, right?
Yes, we had very strong performance records in the key cities, especially when Murray Decay was alive. We did, you know, the Brooklyn Fog.
Okay.
We did the Apollo. We were known as Sweethearts of the Apollo. We would, and then, you know, all the circuit theaters. But then after all those things began to subside, we still were able to go into clubs and play small, nice theaters. And we had we still, to this day, individually, have strong followings in this area.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I was in Bethesda. I'm in Bethesda now.
Okay.
I performed last night at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Club, which most of the following was there.
Well, I know it was you, Patti LaBelle, and Nona Hendrix. Correct. That was the mm-hmm. The makeup of the group. When did you guys? I know you were called something else before you were called LaBelle. When did you guys?
That's right.
When did you guys put the group together? When did you first form the three of you guys came together?
Well, we were not three in the beginning, TC. We were Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells with four members, and that fourth member was Cindy Birdsong, who later left and joined the Supremes. She took Florence Powell's place.
That's right. Okay. Okay.
And so there were three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We were still called Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. But, you know, as things go, they were getting a little rusty and tired. And so I was friends with this TV producer in London called Vicky Wickham. She produced a show called Ready, Steady, Go. And she had us over in London a lot, too. We had very strong following there.
Okay.
And Glasgow and... You know, so we were able to go to Europe as well without a number one hit record. So I stayed in touch with Vicky. And I told her, I said, you know, things are getting very stale for us. I don't know whether we're going to stay together or we're going to break up. I said, we have chitlin' dates and then we have key dates. You know, so in between, you playing on, I'm paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. I'm making fun of us. Some weeks, we'd be playing on the back of a truck that was made into a stage, and the next week you could be at the Howard Theater. So
yeah,
that's the way it was going. And so Vicky said, well, tell me what date you're going to do. And I told her, you know, what was booked.
Mm-hmm.
She helped me narrow those dates down. And one of the dates was playing the Apollo Theater. And she said, you definitely have to do that. And I'll bring some people to see you. Well, we tried to burn that stage down, knowing these people from London were out there. And Smokey Robinson was on the show. I don't think he spoke to us for a long time.
Okay.
Because we were the co-stars.
and y'all upstayed Smokey? That's what you did?
Yeah. And from there, the people find us, and they took us to London to regroup and reestablish our sound,
mm-hmm.
or bring it out more and take away from the traditional way of females performing and girl groups perform, and took us out of the same gowns and the same wigs and individualized our style.
You know,
America had ever said seen.
Yeah, you know, that dress, those outfits that you guys used to wear were something new and very innovative. Just forward thinking, you know, sort of like a space suit.
We were called space children. They were futuristic outfits.
Right.
We combined them with earthly modes of feathers, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, that represented the indigenous folks in our lives.
Okay.
Know?
Okay.
You know, and you're part of our lineage, our heritage, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
there were great outfits. I remember you guys doing your performances and stuff. Who wrote that track? Who wrote Lady Marmalade?
Lady Marmalade?
Yeah.
Bob Crew wrote that song. Bob Crew and a Pepsi Generation. And, you know, Joe Bett Music, which was a publishing company part of Motown,
mm-hmm.
they were the music publishers. And they sort of helped us with the promotion, but, you know, CBS, of course, you know, did a lot of work in promotion because that song, do you remember that song being very big in Paris before
oh, yeah.
America?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
And they thought we were three black French girls. And, you know, CBS sent us on a major tour, gave us major money to do it over there. And, it just, Bob Crew, but you know what, TC, I might say this and say it to your listening audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
That song has been such a blessing to us. It's been over, what, about 40 years now?
Yeah.
And it's still a blessing for us. I mean, everywhere we go, we perform somewhere. I was just doing Fox TV in D.C. They wanted Lady Marmalade.
I saw you singing it on TV. I saw that clip. On Facebook.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw that clip. Uh-huh.
Yes. And then last year, Estee Lauder used Lady Marmalade in their commercial.
You know what, Sarah, when I was talking to Ken, everybody dreams, and like Ken and I was talking about, Ken Reynolds and I was talking about, everybody dreams of having that sort of monumental hit record that really lasts through, I don't care how long it is, it still is like an icon or something during that period of time that it's always remembered. We were talking about Cheryl Lynn and Got to Be Real.
Yes.
You know?
That's another one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's
performing in Japan and Europe and
all over
the world on Got to Be Real.
On
you know?
Got to Be Real. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lady,
making a great living.
Oh, yeah,
making
absolutely.
A great living.
Lady Marmalade is one of those type records that, you know, is just beyond natural comprehension. You know, you have hit records. The records that were number one and so on. But very few records have a place that you can remember, that has a placement in the memory of the people that lived and even the people that weren't alive back then when that record first came on. I guarantee you, I can play that record for teenagers.
And they know it.
And they know it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really a blessing because who would have thought that this would be a part of your life? And you know what the other blessing is that each one of us, TC, can perform that song. You know, Patty, of course, they lead on the record, but Nona does it.
Oh, yeah.
I do it, and as we see.
Yep.
And it's a song that all three of us can do individually.
Well, I mean, you had three outstanding artists in that group. You know, I know most people that don't really know about Nona knows that she, mm-hmm. she was a great songwriter.
Great songwriter.
Yeah, and everybody in that New York, Philadelphia area knows who she is. I don't really think she never really had a real impact in the South, probably lower than Washington, D.C. You start losing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you start losing conscious of who she is.
Yeah. See, Patty and I could go anywhere in the country.
Absolutely.
You know, and mm-hmm. but Nona's audience is totally different from mm-hmm. mine, and we all have different audiences, but we have some of the same people who support us, you mm-hmm. know, because mine could be rock or jazz or blues, you know, mm-hmm. Patty is so, you know, totally R&B, but known as a rock person.
That's where most people know her from, rock pop stuff. And I know, even though when I was working with you, when you did your solo career, you guys still have a loyal following in the gay community. I mean, they love you guys. I mean,
yes,
you couldn't hardly get into a Patti LaBelle concert in New York.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, the gay community,
it would always be sold out.
Oh yeah, the gay community would buy up the tickets, man. You know.
Yes.
You know.
It's always gone.
So what have you been doing? I know that you're busy. I've seen you on doing some TV and things of that nature. Aren't you? Didn't you record some spiritual, some gospel music at one point?
I sure did. I must make sure that I send it to you.
Please.
Okay, it's called The Seventh Child because I am the seventh child of 13 children.
Oh my God.
And yes, and my father was a pastor. I was raised in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given a lot of Christian principles.
Okay.
Where it led to me being the family chaplain. I'm a chaplain now.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Yes, and also, you know, that whole thing about giving back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some traditional gospel. I did some original gospel, and I did some house gospel music. And I did, you know, I'm not your Aretha Franklin or your Patti, but, you know, there's a presence that God has given me that I am sure of,
mm-hmm.
because there are times when I know I have to use it, and it always works for me. And it's given me the ability to teach. You know, I'm a vocal coach.
Okay.
I'm also now in the College of New Jersey, which I created a course with two other professors. For this semester, it's called Trenton Makes Music, which is my hometown. And it is dealing with the history of music and every genre. And we are now teaching that course for the College of New Jersey. I'm the consultant, and we're also having podcasts, which are really becoming really big. And I've been, doing interviews. I've become mm-hmm. an interviewer.
Okay.
Interviewing
okay.
various
Other shows. Well, you know, this matter of fact, this show and this interview will be available on podcast. We air it on my show on Sundays on Music and Conversations. And it goes up on a podcast right after that week's show, so it will be available on iTunes.
Oh, okay. And let me tell you the other things that I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm a governor. I'm on the board of governors for the Grammys.
Oh, wonderful.
In the Philadelphia chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Gamble and Huff. Uh-huh.
Yes. In fact, I ran into Gamble on my way down to D.C. the other day. He was on his way to New York, and we were all in the 30th Street station.
Mm. Glad you guys went on that. Glad you went on that Jersey train.
Oh my God! Yes. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us what else you're involved with.
Okay, so I'm doing that, and I'm trustee for a newly formed Philharmonic Orchestra that we established in the city of Trenton. We had Trenton Symphony, but due to poor management, it sort of dissipated or, you know, broke away. Mm-hmm. And 3 years ago, we decided that we needed a Philharmonic Orchestra in the city of Trenton, and we all came together, and it's up and running for 3 years now. Mm. So I'm a trustee with that. I'm also on the advocacy board. Committee, rather, with the Grammys. And the advocacy committee goes in to fight for the rights of the royalties that we can't get, making sure people get paid. Also, we're a little tired of our people dying with no insurance and none of these things. And with that, you know, the Grammys has what they call music cares that support the arts and musicians. And I'm also, I work and do some work from time to time with the American Jazz Association of America, which works with the jazz people. So I've done benefits for them and worked with them. And, you know, I'm a vocal coach as well. So
you got a full life.
Yes. And now working on my one-woman show, which I did last night at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And, you know, hopefully in the beginning of the year that we'll be able to, I may call you up and say, Casey, I need you to help me work with it. So, you know.
Would love to. Anytime that you need me, just holler. I'll be here, you know.
Yes, because I see the wonderful work that you do. You're always promoting artists. That's so great.
Well, you know, I love what I do, Sarah. Yeah, I love what I do, and, you know, I see no need to stop. I mean, you know, matter of fact, I got a couple of records on the chart right now, so I've been very, very successful.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my students that I coach, Sony called me up and said, we need you to work with this artist, and we need you to help and develop the strength of her voice. That artist now is on her way. Her name is Ruth B.
Okay.
And she sang a song called Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
So you can research her.
You need to have her send me the music, and I need you to also send me your music. We can definitely air it on our station, and I'll play it on the show before we air this interview. So if you get a chance, email me an MP3 today. Okay. I know you got my email. But send me that. Hey, Sarah, look, I appreciate your time. I know we could keep talking forever. We're on the phone with Sarah Dash, a member of the world famous LaBelle and a world famous artist in her own right.
Thank you. I've
had the pleasure to work with her when she was a solo artist.
And
when you were with LaBelle. I've been blessed both times. And I worked with Patty when she was a solo artist. You know, thank you for taking your day and talking to me, Sarah. I appreciate it so much. And I'm probably going to air this Sunday. So, but I will let you know before it airs.
Me too.
Okay. Love you.
Yes,
and God bless
you. Gigi.
God bless you too.
God.
You take care. Okay.
I will indeed. I will.
And give me that music. Okay.
Okay. I will.
Take care. Bye bye.
Go.
Music and Conversations is brought to you by Tompkins Marketing, world-class radio promotions, marketing, and distribution.